A sermon from the Gospel of Luke in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. If not, you can cut it down." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the creator of the stars and of fig trees be with you now and always. Well, today, my friends, marks another text out of Luke where we encounter Jesus, ever the teacher and guide. We have Jesus teaching through the distinctive format of a parable. And as you've just heard, parables are one weird way to teach. I do find it interesting that Jesus prefers this mode of teaching. One of my favorite theologians, John Dominic Cresson, defines a parable as a story that never happened, but always does, or at least should. These stories are the way that Jesus shares his radical and subversive good news about an alternative universe called the kingdom of God, served up for us today in the parable of the non-productive fig tree. You remember it, right? The one where the vineyard owner is frustrated with a fig tree who for 3 years he's been waiting on to produce fruit. So in response to this slacker of a tree, he wants to chop it down because it's simply a waste of good soil. The tree is already grown. It's had its chance. And without anything to show for itself, it's a freeloader. And the owner would be better off in his mind without the hassle and the economic loss. And then the gardener steps in. Remember? He asks for mercy, pleads with the owner to give the tree one more year. One more year during which he will tend to the tree by turning over the soil and enriching it with manure. Now, as a true middle schooler at heart, right, my attention was piqued as soon as this parable mentioned poop. And just as an aside, anytime you need to get the attention of 11 to a 14-year-old, just bring up bodily functions or poop, and then they're all yours. Now, aside from this manure line, what is this parable trying to show us here in this place and at this time? You see, parables are frustrating, and at the same time, they are often the stories we remember the best. Right? I bet right now you can name off some of your favorite parables, right? The ones about coins and lost sheep and wheat and seeds, sons and fathers and widows, right? Ordinary things revealing the very nature of God and God's will for the world. And for today, we have the fruitless fig tree. Now, in the ancient world, it was common for fig trees to be planted in the middle of a vineyard, right? Maybe this is why a common image of prosperity, peace, and Israel itself is often seen as vines and fig trees. The Bible references fig trees some 60 times. And there's also this season of figs in August and September when the second and edible crop is harvested. You see, the first crop that's produced in the winter is always small and hard, and you can't eat them. So it's an investment, these fig trees. So to cut down a tree would be an economic loss, because it takes years for the tree to grow to maturity enough for this first season of figs harvest. It would also have been unusual for anyone to fertilize a tree such as this, and a sign of doing so would be a testament to extraordinary care. So in this case, with this parable, it occurred to me that maybe these characters were stand-ins for something, for us or for God or for Jesus. I mean, I can feel very much like this fig tree. Unproductive, judged, expectations placed upon me, and uneasy feelings and questioning of my worth. And I can also often act like the vineyard owner, right? Speaking in judgment of others and of myself, demanding timelines of production, right? Lifting my fist in defiance of perfectly good conditions, which are not giving me what I want. Calculating when to cut my losses, blaming the situation for the actions I'm being forced to take. Wanting something different, right? Making rash decisions without perspective taking. So how can we make sense of this parable if we can be both the owner and the tree? Can we be our own judge and jury while standing there as the defendant? I think we often do. I think we are in this situation more than we want to admit. And here, in this parable, we have another player come on the scene. We have the gardener, an advocate, a paraclete in the Greek. This gardener intercedes and pleads for the owner to give the tree one more year, right? One more year to produce the fruit, to become valuable. And that during that time, he dedicates himself to tend the soil, enrich it. Yes, I'm going to say it. Enrich it with poop, holy manure, a bucket full of grace. You were worried I was going to say something else, weren't you? And suddenly there it is. The parable revealing its message for me in this time and this place. God, in the form of the incarnate Jesus, is the one who comes into our lives with an overflowing bucket of grace and says to us and the world around us, one more year, or one more hour, or one more day, another week, another month, another moment. God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, could also be that manure, that who enriches and flows through us to invigorate our souls, to build our passions, give us courage or strength or resistance or compassion or rest or peace or willingness, or even surrender. This holy fertilizer brings richness so that we can become who we already are and yet also be somehow enhanced. Now, some of us might need a lot of manure and others only a little. Some might need some enrichment during a season of their lives. Others might need it in a continuous drip, an IV of sorts, straight to their hearts. Thankfully for us, our generous God is into equity and not equality. Our God is one who offers what you need, not what you deserve or what your neighbor needs. God gives in equity everything. God enriches our lives by saying to the forces which carry the axe to cut us down, one more year. In the end, it doesn't much matter who is who in this parable, because it's the message that matters. What we take away from this radical alternative universe that Jesus is pointing us towards. We will always need someone to step in, to intercede, to plead our case, to dig down and tend our soil. God's love and promise will be added in the amount that it is needed to give us one more year. So the gospel for today is that there is always one more. As Nadia Boltz-Weber once preached about concerning this parable, this beautiful litany, one more year, people of God, one more year to do what needs to be done, one more year to believe you really are the beloved child of God that God has claimed as God's own, one more year to trust in God more than money, one more year to forgive others, one more year to forgive yourself, one more year to put your mistakes behind you or see them as the very fertilizer God puts around you so that you can produce your fruit, one more year to be fed at the table of God's grace, one more year to be enchanted by the story of Jesus, one more year to help someone else, one more year to feel loved, one more. God has claimed us as God's own, planted us already in the middle of the divine vineyard, forgiven us, freed us to grow, freed us to bear fruit, a whole diversity of fruit, and given us a gardener in Jesus. So I say it again. One more year, my brothers and sisters. One more glorious year. Thanks be to God. Amen.